Good morning. It's good to be here. It's been a while, right? Like, I know technically we've done this for a couple of weeks, but one of those weeks we were on holiday and one of those weeks I was doing the stream and you kind of forget everything else that's going on when you're doing that. So it's nice to actually be here in person. I've got my Bible and we are going to read it in a moment and we're going to do some preaching. I have a question before we do that. I want to ask why you're all here this morning. Because I was thinking about this in the run-up to this morning and what I was going to say and praying and asking God what he wanted me to say and thinking about just this moment. And it has... the last time I was here and I was preaching and we were in this room together would have been Easter last year. It was about a year and 4 months ago. And that's a long time. And, you know... I have lots of habits in my life. I have lots of things I do just because I do them and they're what I do every day or every week. And in the last year and a half, some of those habits have changed. So, for example, I used to have to get up and actually go to university in the morning. So I would get up early and I'd be on the train and I'd usually have breakfast when I got there and kind of do a bit of work and meet friends. And obviously that hasn't been happening. So I get up much later in the mornings than I used to. and I'm somehow don't have more energy as a result. But that's a habit in my life. That's a thing that's changed as the shape of my life has changed. And I think for all of us who were coming here week on week, a year and a half ago, a year and 4 months ago, you know, we were here because we were choosing to be here, but there's also a rhythm to it, right? You get up on a Sunday morning and you come and you go to church and that's kind of that's what we've been doing for a long time. I think for a lot of people that's what we've done for a long time, but it's been a year and a while now and lots of my habits have changed and lots of my rhythms have changed. And I remember last week when we came to the live stream, I don't know if everyone else is like this, but I've got like a list of alarms for different days on my phone and I had to go in and change the Sunday alarm on my phone because I couldn't just roll out of bed at 10:30 and load up a computer and just watch the thing in bed in my pajamas. I had to actually get up and get dressed and be here. So I'm assuming for all of us that are here this morning, there's a reason, right? Because it's not a habit anymore. If you've been coming here for 2 weeks, if you were coming here for 10 years, if this is your first morning here, we're kind of all in the same boat. We've all got up and chosen to be here. And I kind of want to know why. What is it? Is there something you're waiting for? Is there something you are hoping for? Is there a belief in God that still sits there in the back of your mind that drags you here this morning? We're going to open up the Bible and we're going to read it and we're going to see what God does for us just now. But I'd just like you to hold that thought, that thing, that reason why you're here. If you know what it is, and if you don't know what it is and you don't quite know how to name it, that's okay. We'll get to that too. Whatever that is, just hold it in your heart in this moment because I think that that's important, right? Whenever we choose to do something and be in a place to see God, it's important that we remember why we're here. It's important that we hold on to that thing that's brought us here this morning. And if you are here for the first time, you can do that too because that's the hardest one of all to do, I think, if you're here in this building for the first time. I'd find it hard. These people are weird. I'm weird. So we're going to read this morning. We're in Psalm 24. Do we have the words up top? Brilliant. Fantastic. We're going to read verses 1 to 6. And then we're going to stop, and then we are going to read the next bit second. It's just it's 10 verses, and I get bored. So verse 1 starts like this. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it, for he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. So we start, let's start at the beginning. So the first couple of verses of this is really simple. It says, you know, the earth is the Lord's, he's established it, he owns it. It and everything in it belongs to him and kind of is under his control and authority and care. I really like that to start out. You know, it's been a wild time, right? There has been lots of change, lots of stuff's happened, lots of really hard stuff's happened in the world, and is still happening in the world. And if you've read your Old Testament, you know for these guys there was lots of wild stuff that had happened in the world. There are famines and battles and floods and all sorts. But they start, and we get to start, by saying, listen, no, it's okay. God's in control. God's got authority over everything. God sits over the whole world and everything in it. That's under his authority. So we start right away by emphasizing God's sovereignty over the world, God's care for the world. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on out there. God's got it. And it's going to be okay. And it's okay, I'll go without them, it's fine. and I think that's a good place to start. And then we get to part, like, verse 3, and it talks about the hill of the Lord. It talks about who shall ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in that holy place. So, like, we start out with the whole world, and then we zoom right in. God's everywhere. God has authority over everywhere. God is present everywhere. But there's this one specific special moment where God's really there, and there's this, like, he's especially there. There's this encounter with the holy presence of God, what we would call the manifest presence of God. If you want a reference for what that means, it's like the difference between being in this room actually together and watching us through a video screen. We're with each other both times, but there's something personal and special and significant about this. And it's like that with God. That holy place is that place of personal special significance, like that feeling of being really close to someone. And I like that a lot. I think, you know, we talked about why we were here this morning, and I think for some of us, we'll just be here because we're looking for the manifest presence of God, that personal presence of God. If you're looking for that, I think church is a good place to start. It's not the only place, but it's a good place to be if you want to be in God's presence. And maybe you've got something specific on your mind. There's something you're waiting for, something you're hoping for, something you need deliverance from, or something you're looking for reassurance for. But all of those things, like, God will meet those needs, but somewhere in the middle of that, either beforehand or afterwards or in the moment, there'll be an encounter with God in that meeting of that need. So for all of us, that presence of God, that manifest holy presence of God, that's what we're here for, right? And then we get a little bit further on, and it talks about clean hands and pure hearts, and who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, who gets into that holy place. And it's those who've got clean hands, those who've got pure hearts, and those who haven't sweared deceitfully, that's tell lies or not kept their promises. And I'm like, my heart lifts when I read the first part of this, and then I get to this bit about clean hands and pure hearts, and I you may be like me, your heart kind of sinks a little bit, because, like, as I said, it's been a hard year. And I know I've not always done everything as well as I could have done. And do you know what? Even before I got to blame the pandemic, I definitely didn't have as clean hands or as pure hearts as I wanted to. I'm just going to cover this really quickly. We're not going to dwell on this very much. If you're here and you're worried, like me, that there's something in there that you've done or said or an attitude you've got or just something there that doesn't feel right, like I can't stand in God's presence because I did this or I acted this way or this is weighing on me, the joy of being Christians is that the purity we enter into this space with is God's purity. It's Jesus' purity. Jesus has clean hands for all of us. He has a pure heart for all of us. He is true and honest and faithful for all of us. And so if you're like, I don't know if I can get into that space, I don't know if I can stand in God's presence, I don't know if I'm good enough, Jesus has clean hands and pure hearts for you to stand in that space, and all you have to do is ask for them. Deborah said, I've just done 4 years of a theology degree. I'm meant to have lots of clever things to say here. I have nothing clever or special or big or complicated to say about that. If you want clean hands, you want pure hearts, you want to be whole, to step into God's presence, Jesus has that for you. All you have to do is ask him for it. There are no strings attached. There are no difficult bits of that. We just ask Jesus for a pure heart, and he'll give you his, and you can step in God's presence, and we can deal with the rest of it later. So that's that. And now we've got over that wee roadblock. We get to the bit that jumped out at me when I was reading this. The bit that when you're praying and prepping and you're trying to figure out what on earth you're going to say in front of all these people on a Sunday morning, this was the bit that jumped out at me that I was like, all right, we're doing this passage. Verse 5, it says, they, as in those who have entered into the presence of God, those who have stood in the holy place, they will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. I really like that word, vindication. is a really cool word. To be vindicated in something is to have an action or a behavior or a belief or a choice, like to come to church this morning, proved right or reasonable or justified. Rachel knows me. She knows I like to be proved right. And so we talked a moment ago about why are we here this morning? Like, what are we waiting for? What are we hoping for? What is it that's brought us to this moment? And I just want to say, if there's something you're waiting for or hoping for, or you have faith in God for, or there's a faithfulness or a belief there at some point that's dragged you back here, even though it's hard, because believe me, I know it's not been easy. Coming back to say anything like this after a year and whatever it is isn't easy. Like faith is always easy when things are good, and when things are bad, it's a choice to be here. Whatever that is that's brought you here, I want to say that God's waiting to prove you right for putting your trust in him. Like, whatever that is, God's there, and he's like, good, you've put your trust in me, that was the right choice, and I'm going to show you that was the right choice. I think that's what I'm waiting for this morning. I want to know that I've done the last year and a half and I've been faithful and that there was a reason for that. And so I know in my heart I'm waiting for God to show me that next thing, that next experience or encounter or opportunity or that moment of healing or that moment of cleansing or that moment of deliverance that's going to be, yeah, it was right for you to stick that out and it was good that you stick this out. And here's the bit at the end of that that shows you, yeah, you did the right thing all this time. And yeah, so if you've got that, you're holding on to that, if that thing that you called to mind at the start, you know, God's here for you for that. God's got something special for you today, I believe. We talked about spiritual battles earlier. We talked about breaking through, and I was like, yeah, good, great, I'm on the right track. Because we didn't actually chat this through beforehand, we've just done with it. Take that thing that you're waiting for, that thing you're holding on for, and just know that God's got it and he's going to do something with it. And then I said we were going to do the last three verses, didn't I? I did say we were going to come back to them. I didn't just get bored and decide, nah, seven verses is enough, or six. Yeah, six. Verses 7 to 10 in this passage, if we could get them up on the screen, yeah, the first verse will do, and then we'll go through them one by one. You read all the books on this, and they all call this, the word they use is processional, which is, it means it would have been spoken together. So some of the Psalms are like one person talking, right? And some of them are a few people talking. This one's lots of people talking together, lots of people praying together and singing together. And I, you know, we've got a room full of people who we've not always been in a room together, and I thought saying something together would be nice, right? Like, it's good, we get to do this. But then I looked into the history of this passage, and it's really cool. So, in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the time of the ancient Israelites, they had the temple, and the temple was where God's presence was, that manifest presence. So God's with us now in manifest presence, but for them it was the temple, and that was where God dwelt. And there was a wee box in the middle of that temple called the Ark of the Covenant. It's got lots of very interesting descriptions, but it's basically just a box on wooden stilts that they would carry about with them, and that was where God's presence was. And then they put it in the temple when they built the temple, and that was like, God's in the temple, God's with us. But every now and then in Israelite history, you see that there's a battle or something goes wrong, and someone comes and they steal the Ark of the Covenant, and they take it away, and God's presence goes away from them. And this passage, this refers to one moment where that happens. The Philistines came, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 6, the enemies of the Israelites come, they attack the temple, they steal the Ark of the Covenant and they take it away, and then David goes out to battle and he brings the covenant back, the Ark of the Covenant back in, and he walks that manifest presence of God through the streets and through the doors and back into the temple, and this was how they would reenact that moment. Open up you gates, for the King of Glory is coming. And I was thinking about this moment of return, this moment of victory, this moment of reconciliation, that we've waited a long time to be here, and now we get to be here together again in God's presence. And I don't know, it just felt appropriate, right? I don't know why, but there's like a thematic connection there. So here's what we're going to do. We're gonna do a few steps, because I feel like it would be good to do something with a few steps this morning. We're going to stand together in just a moment. And we're going to go through A and B and C, and we're going to take some time to just pray and be together. So I'd love it if you'd stand with me. And we're just going to take a moment of quiet, or sit if you need to sit. Sit. If you want to lie down, lie down. But if you can stand and you want to stand, let's stand. And we're just going to take a moment of quiet. And in that moment of quiet, I want you to think, well, we'll get the roadblocks out of the way first. So if there's stuff in your heart that you're worried about, like, I want to stand in God's presence, but I can't because of this thing or that thing or the other thing. If there's something specific weighing on your mind, I want you to call it to mind for just a moment. Just hold it there. I want you to ask in your heart, Jesus, make me pure and make me whole again. Just take a moment to do that. Right, and that's that good. That's good. You're pure. You can enter into God's presence now. You can probably have done it anyway, but we're just getting our hearts right. We're just settling ourselves down a bit. And then I want you to take that thing that you're waiting for, that thing that brought you here, that thing that brought you here, because today isn't a habit. Today's a choice. That thing you're waiting for, that thing you're hoping for, that thing you believe in God for and you're faithful for. I want you to hold that in your heart. I want you, if you're able and you're ready, to take that thing and give it to God and say, God, I trust you. I trust that you'll vindicate this choice. I trust that you'll vindicate this faith. I trust that I don't follow you and believe in you in vain, that there's reason for this, that there's purpose for this, that this makes sense. And then now that we've done that, I'm going to come round, because I'm not sure that the version on the screen is the same one as I've got in my Bible, so I'm going to come round and we're going to say this together. And what I'd like us to do, if we can, is this okay with the distancing? I'm good here? Good. Is we're going to say the words of this psalm together. We're going to declare this psalm together, because that's a thing we get to do today. That is this moment, this thing where we're all together and we all get to worship together. This is vindication for the choice you've made to be faithful for the last year and a half. This is proof that it was good to keep coming back, to have faith that God would bring this moment around. So we're gonna declare this together because we can. All together, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. We're just going to do the whole thing. Let's go with it. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol, who swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. And here we go. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, your gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this, the King of glory, the Lord Almighty? He is the King of glory. Rachel, would you come up and lead us in some worship just now? Oh yeah, I can pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment. It's been a while coming. Jesus, thank you for everyone that's here. Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness to bring us back into this space. Jesus, be with us now as we celebrate you. Amen.